720 WGN, John Hanson in for Jisoo Gee here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. And we're going to jump right into things. No messing around. Terry Savage, who comes in on Wednesdays normally, joining us on a Monday morning with the Dow Jones down about 6.4%, nearly 1,700 points. Terry, not a great day to chat with you, but maybe it is the best day for you to help us out here today.
Well, you and I talked about this. G and I have talked about this. This is not unexpected, except to the people who thought the bull market would go on forever.
Right.
It's not. The economy's not going on forever, and it's boom. And that's the main reason this is happening today in the stock market.
I think it's obviously been coronavirus fears that have really led the up and down over the last week. Today, though, you get the mix with the oil. Can you explain it like I'm a fifth grader here, why this is so volatile today?
Well, the coronavirus is the pin that sort of pricked the bubble of happy days. But the oil crisis is another interesting situation. I mean, the Saudis just looked at the Russians and said, hey, you know what? We're not going to support oil prices anymore. We're going to cut prices. In the face of demand around the world collapsing, think about it. Not only are planes not taking off and cruise ships not using fuel oil, but China's been, you know, down to a fraction of its usual use of energy for the last month or so. So there's very little demand, and the Saudis have cut prices and are increasing supply. The real victims is not the Russians, who they are undercutting, although that'll impact them, or the Saudis, who obviously figured they can afford to do this, but many U.S. oil and energy companies who happen to have high yields. You better be careful, because those dividends are going to disappear, and maybe some of them won't be able to refinance their bonds. So the energy sector down dramatically, oil under $32 a barrel. That's part of it.
Mm-hmm. I imagine for a lot of folks out there that, you know, if you're not retiring for 10 or 15 years, just don't even look at your 401k. There's really not much to do. I assume that's the correct answer for those that are...
Well, I've been warning for a while to find some conservative place to hide some money, but
right.
10 or 15 years should more than do it for you. Who I feel for, and I've been talking to other people just a few years from retirement or in retirement who need to... are no longer going to be contributing once they're retired, and also need to take withdrawals that are required at age 72 now. So those people have a great need for liquidity. I would also like to say that we're seeing something unprecedented in the interest rate markets, John. We've got the Treasury, 10-year Treasury was down to 0.34%. It's now back up over 0.5%. These bonds were trading, yielding close to 2% not very long ago. So everybody around the world with cash is coming to the U.S. and saying, what's the safest place in the world? I'll buy U.S. Treasuries. That pushes prices up and rates down, yields down. So we're having a lot of unusual things happening. And I think the one thing you can plan on is that it's not over yet. It could last a lot longer than you think. And now it's, you don't want to jump into it in the middle of this, either on the buy or the sell side
right
today.
Quick question. This is just random. I think I had heard about these circuit breakers in place. I can't remember. When was the last time these have gone off, these circuit breakers in the market?
Well, actually, in 2010, we had a circuit breaker issue. I mean, we had something called the flash crash in hindsight, which was a technical thing, and they always have had circuit breakers. But after that, they changed them. And so we only had the first circuit breaker today. The market was down 7% just shortly after the opening. It was down over 1,800 points, and they paused trading for 15 minutes. If it drops another 13%, they'll have another pause. We hope we won't get there. But there are three actual circuit breakers, just to give the market a chance to catch its breath.
Just
so
breathe for a second. Yeah, it's good advice for the rest of us. Terry Savage, as always, thanks for stopping by and chatting us through this, okay?
Glad to be with you.
John Hanson here in for G. She'll be back tomorrow on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We often start our Mondays with Jim Dahlke and Catherine Davis. We push them back just a little bit to react to what's happening on the markets. Speaking about going up and down, guys, first of all, welcome to the program. Second, a Lamont Adventure Park that'll let you go high in the sky and come back down to earth. This looks cool.
Yeah, that's right, John. So it is called the Forge Lamont Quarries Adventure Park, and it is the largest aerial adventure course in North America, just 22 miles from Chicago. This is an idea coming from some Chicago entrepreneurs, Chris Gladwin and Jeremy Bacon. And this is like just kind of a giant outdoor jungle gym with ropes courses, mountain biking, hiking trails, fishing, just like an outdoor, like, fantasy mecca.
Taking advantage of the natural elevation changes they have down there. Elevation changes down there.
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting concept, too. You know, I was talking to Chris Gladwin, who, by the way, is the founder, serial entrepreneur in Chicago, sold his last business for $1.3 billion. So actually, you talk about, you know, why do cities want large tech exits? Mm-hmm. So you can have millionaires who build giant, multi-huge crowded parks like this. And the interesting thing that's going to happen with this park is that it's not going to be the tourist destination in a way that a lot of these kind of things are. This is going to be a place where Chicagoland goes. And so there are similar parks like this, kind of, but they are kind of super, super remote, really kind of only there for vacationers who go there maybe once in their entire life. This is hoping for repeat visitors. And so really kind of cool. This is happening just, you know, 20 or so miles outside of Chicago.
Yeah, we're a very experienced-based culture now, looking for that not only that thrill, but to be able to share it with our friends on Instagram. So when are we going to be able to do this? I mean, it looks pretty ambitious, but these aren't gigantic. I mean, they're big structures, but this isn't a giant brick and mortar sort of place. Do we have any estimates on time?
So all we know is that just this summer, I'm not sure exactly.
Oh, this summer?
Yeah, this summer.
Oh, hey, okay.
Yeah. So pretty soon, not sure which month exactly, but, you know, pretty soon this will be opening. I think one of the, you know, really interesting things that Gladwin told us is that down the line, there'll be some tech elements offered to visitors. So thinking like a Pokemon Go-like experience find activities, and I'm sure find your way around the park because it's on 300 acres, so it's huge.
It looks great. The pictures are Chicago. I know you guys are great right up there, too. All right, you can't go more than one segment without talking about coronavirus here. That's like a new rule. But, I mean, a lot of people are worried about what's happening in their workplaces. We just had one, not here at WGN, but where I work over at CW26, the TV station. No communal food now, allowing us to dip into our short-term disabilities if we need extended sick time, just to really encourage people to, if they are sick, to stay home sick, which I think is wonderful. Not every place doing that, but you guys took a look at some of how the tech companies here in Chicago are handling this.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, some companies that we talked to, Jellyvision, we've talked about on the show before, they're a benefit startup. You know, they have a zero tolerance sick policy right now, really encouraging employees to work from home.
Zero tolerance meaning no consequence. You're okay. Please stay home.
Yes, okay. Yeah. You're not going to get fired if you're sick, but like, please don't come into the office if you're sick.
Okay.
Review Trackers, another local company, they have actually shut down their office starting today and indefinitely. They're asking employees to work from home. Some big news last week was that Oracle, they canceled their Modern Business Experience 2020 conference that was supposed to happen here later this month at McCormick Place. So
when we look at companies that do well for their workers, we often think about tech, new companies. How are they thinking about their younger workers? I wonder if this can provide a roadmap for some more traditional companies to realize, hey, you know, this sort of situation, you know, eventually, hopefully we'll all be done with coronavirus one day, but the workers will remember how their employers treated them during this time. I imagine that's what companies want to get ahead of.
Totally. And I think that the tech industry generally is pretty well positioned for some of this because a lot of tech companies can do remote work pretty easily.
True.
Tech companies often have kind of very kind of liberal policies in terms of time off, right? So a lot of companies will have unlimited vacation, quote unquote. And so I think that that is a bit beneficial, right? Because it's easier to kind of take a couple extra additional days into a system that already kind of allows for that type of time off. I think traditional industries would be served wise to see what the tech industry has been able to do. And so I think we're still so early on to this to determine any key takeaways. But I think the tech industry, because it's very kind of pro-remote, because it has these sort of built-in policies where people can kind of take time off when they need to, I think that the tech industry is poised to kind of handle this pretty well.
It could be even little things like managers reminding people, hey, it is okay to be sick. Or it's not. I mean, it's okay to be home. In fact, you need to be home during this. I feel like sometimes, you know, we're such a work-heavy culture that we want to push through things, that even just a note from your boss saying that at least opens up your brain to say, hey, if there's any symptom that you're having, do not bring it to the office. All right, let's talk. I think a lot of people know what Cameo is all about, the idea that you can pay not all that much money for a celebrity to send a message. I am always amazed when I look at Cameo how low the prices are. But let's talk through Real Talk.
Yeah, so a new startup called Real Talk Live is trying to, in a way, be kind of a Cameo competitor. So, you know, Cameo has made a name for itself, giving you pre-recorded messages directly from celebrities. But what Real Talk Live wants to do is actually put you on the phone with them to communicate with them directly. So, you know, it's an interesting, you know, business idea, especially thinking about, like, you know, do talent want this to their fans to have this kind of access to them, and you know who would want to be on the platform. But it's founded by a DePaul grad, Gus Fakuri, and then William Pritzker, who is actually related to Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker.
Shocker, a Pritzker family connection.
Mm-hmm. But says that the governor has no hand in the company.
It's interesting. So it'd be a live conversation. You'd connect two people. Obviously, they wouldn't have your phone number. Through the app, somehow, they would create that connection. There is something a little bit more special about the live element. That does make it interesting. I'm almost surprised that Cameo didn't jump on this and have this feature already.
So, yeah, I've talked to the CEO about the F Cameo about that, and it has not been something that they have really warmed up to, because I think that, for one, you know, I'm not sure how many celebrities really do want that one-to-one connection. I think that it's easier and kind of you can scale the business a little more if you can give the celebrities some more time to sort of fulfill those things. But
true.
One use case would be if you wanted to connect with a fashion blogger, for example. We kind of brought this scenario up when we talked about Cameo last, where, you know, they allow you to connect with a fashion blogger and to say, hey, which shoes should I buy for this event tonight? That's a kind of one-on-one interaction that's better live than it is, you know, 5 hours later, because by then you probably left the store and you can't make that purchase anymore. So
that's interesting.
I think that, you know, Cameo very easily could do this. We'll see if they actually warm up to the idea. But clearly they've built this market that this company's been able to kind of jump into.
Interesting stuff. All right, well, we do have an extra minute. Let's talk about the Chicago Inno 2020 Tech Madness Bracket. Always a fun part about spring.
Yeah, the Tech Madness. We're on our fifth or sixth year of Tech Madness now. We did kind of a launch event last week at the Chicago Bulls game. So we had a bunch of the teams who are in the competition. And this is a March Madness style bracket of 64 Chicago Tech companies going head to head. So think of it just like a regular March Madness bracket. It's reader driven. So our readers will vote on who they want to invest in. And we've got our first round matchups going on right now. So go to ChicagoInno.com. And there you can see the full bracket, all the companies participating, and vote for your favorite.
Some interesting one seeds. That Tempest, Rays, Relativity Uptake. Sorry, it's a little low on my screen there. Any 16-1 upsets, you think, or no? That's always the big one.
I think we absolutely will see 16-1 upsets. This is a very upset heavy tournament that we typically run every year. Lower seeds have done very well historically in the Tech Madness bracket competition. So there's the seeding's based on total funding raised, so that's why you'll see some of those heavy venture back companies with the better seeds.
That's great. Jim Dahlke, Catherine Davis, thanks so much for joining us. Catherine, where can people find all these stories and more?
Yeah, you can find more at ChicagoInno.com, and there you can sign up for the Beat or email newsletter.
Gotta love that. All right, plenty more on the Winter's Business Lunch coming up after this. 12:34 on this Monday afternoon. John Hansen in for Ji Suki on the Winter's Business Lunch. You know Elise Glink pretty well, and she joins us now. She's the CEO of Best Money Moves. Elise, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks, John. Nice to be here, although it's a little crazy of a day, right?
Yeah, right. And, you know, normally I like to guide the conversation or the first question to be a little bit more specific, but I just kind of want your general thoughts as we sit here and looking at a market board now down 1,800.
Yeah, I think this is a really scary time for anybody who has money in the market, particularly if you're getting close to retirement age. You're probably going, why didn't I diversify? Why do I have 100% of my money in stock? And wondering what you should do about it. And I'm here to tell you, just sit tight.
Yeah.
Don't do anything.
Yeah, probably the worst decision you can make is to panic and get rid of it all or try and move some stuff now, because you're really in a weak position here right now.
You are, and this is really we don't know where this market is going. We know that sort of there was a halt in trading due to the 2008. Remember, we had that flash crash in 2008, and the stock markets instituted kind of a panic pause, I would call it, 15 minutes for everybody to take a deep breath and think if they really wanted to sell everything they'd ever owned. And so we've gone, we had that this morning, and we're back trading, and it seems to still be going down because of what's going on with this kind of Russia causing issues with the oil market. So
yeah,
it's very hard to predict where anything will go, but what I can honestly tell you is that eventually we're going to get through coronavirus, eventually this is going to go away, things are going to calm down, and then we will see where the economy is.
Yeah, I think that's what's so hard to predict about this. And I agree with your ultimate point that eventually things will be A-OK and we're going to be back on track. And if you're not retiring for a little while, then, you know, try and just chill out about it and don't keep on looking. I think that's one of the worst mistakes you could make. But, you know, the oil, you know, is obviously connected to a low demand. And, you know, there's these other permutations and different directions that the different economies go in as a result of this coronavirus. I mean, they're all, in a way, as of course, linked.
They are. And, you know, there is a recession that is starting, and I'm going to say it's starting because we only ever know in the rearview mirror
right.
when we actually have it. But I'm just, you know, one of the parts of my job is CEO of Best Money Moves, which is a financial stress measurement company. This is what we do, is we measure financial stress for employees. And let me tell you, stress is high,
yeah.
usage is high, but... You know, when part of my job is to go around to conferences all over the country and talk about financial wellness and what it means to be financially healthy and how you help your employees get there. And all of my conferences have gotten canceled for the next 2-3 months. I'm going to be here in Chicago, and I think that this is the experience a lot of people are having, because I'm seeing online a lot of other conferences, things that I'm not even going to are canceled, like the Home and Houseware Show, which should have started this week here in Chicago, and we lost 60,000 people and 47,000 room nights, and all those dinner reservations have been canceled, and Ubers that you're not going to take
yeah.
have been canceled. And so there's definitely a waterfall that's going on here, and I think that when you multiply that by South by Southwest, and I just saw the Consumer Federation of America canceled something, and Emerge got canceled, and all these different kinds of conferences, these numbers really add up, and it's happening all around the country, all around the world. There is a financial cost, and that is going to translate into a recession. The question is, how long, how deep, and when does it start to turn around?
So it's all great points, and you know, part of me wonders, you know, if we're overreact. I think a lot of us are overreacting to certain things, but you know, at the same time, I understand the conference is closing down, and if you can maybe kind of limit the spread, then in the long run, of course, this will end up being better for people if we can kind of nip this in the bud, which is what the consulate of the conference is all about. Aside from what we're worried about in our accounts right now, I mean, there's some individual real costs to this stuff on a micro level about the things that people should be preparing for, whether it's, you know, that they might have to pull out of their pockets a little bit for tests. Maybe they don't have an HSA, or maybe they do, and they need to start thinking about some of these actual real costs of quarantine, anything like that.
Right. Well, their cost to quarantine. One good thing is Blue Cross Blue Shield companies this morning
yep.
announced coverage of coronavirus testing for members. They're the largest health insurance company in Chicago, in the state of Illinois, but they cover 36 independent owned and operated Blue Cross Blue Shield companies nationwide. So it's good to know that the Blues are behind corona testing and extra access to sort of teledoc and telehealth medicine. That's all going to be very comforting. They're changing the way that they allow prescriptions to be filled, so that's very helpful. But yes, there's certainly going to be a financial cost for people. We've been writing about it on our Best Money Moves blog because, you know, the lower demand for things, everything from airline tickets to hotel rooms and even restaurants means less of a need for the people who are in those service jobs
mm-hmm.
or in those jobs. And so that means that your income could be hit. So you want to really cut back on what you're spending right now. Be very conscious of the cash that you have on hand and try hard to figure out where else in this, what's still a busy economy, where else you can help, where else you can make some extra cash so that you can build up those reserves, because you may need them.
That's great stuff. Elise, I think that you have both comforted us in many ways, but also just gotten us a little bit more thinking about the preparedness side. We appreciate you stopping on by.
Absolutely, John. Happy to help.
Yeah, Elise Glink, CEO of Best Money Moves, and you hear her all the time here on WGN. 12:47 on this Monday afternoon, joined by Miss Amy Guth, who will also be in for Anna DeVlantes. So this is kind of an extended crosstalk here. And how you doing, Amy? I just called you Anna. Sorry about that.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Three letters, two short names. It's fine. I just decided to come on in and stay for the rest of the day. So I'm going to be here up to baseball. That's what I'm going to do.
All right. So let's talk. Elise mentioned one of the conferences kind of closing or not going to do an expo here. You've got a few of the numbers because you kind of rattled off some ideas of X amount of hotel rooms, X amount of this. You've got some more concrete stuff for us.
Yeah. So the American College of Cardiology, that was the conference that canceled this morning at McCormick Place. It's one of many. There have been several others in the past week or so. The International Housewares Association, That was a very, very big one. Software giant Oracle, Ace Hardware, all canceling those. But the DC-based Association of Cardiology, that cancellation was set to host more than 29,000 visitors that last weekend of March, which would have accounted for nearly 41,000 hotel room nights locally.
Wow.
Because some people are not coming from far away. Some people live here, right? But for, you know, what the conference generally brings in, that's 41,000 hotel room nights. That's big. Then you're going to talk about taxis. And I think Elise mentioned this.
Mm-hmm.
And taxis and Ubers not taken and restaurants not dined in and things like that. And so this is that's a pretty big impact there. There's been kind of some numbers floating around about what would that look like if everything in the next 90 days were to cancel at McCormick Place.
And just McCormick Place we're talking.
Just McCormick. And it's upward of $300 million. It's a lot of just economic impact. Just the basic stuff, hotels and restaurants and taxis. Like, it's not even looking at, you know, buying and spending and other things.
Yeah, going to boutiques or whatever. Or even the idea being that you bring someone to Chicago for the first time, they're hooked, they come back again. Like, you lose those sorts of things. Not to try and doom and gloom it all too much, but it's a serious consequences. And I think that when you hear about expos canceling, if it's not the thing that you're in town for, you don't care about, whatever, you can roll your eyes at it or say, oh, a bunch of rich people aren't going to get as much money. This is what always happens, this trickle-down idea that this is going to affect the labor market as much as anyone.
That's right. And a lot of conferences where you go to do your hustle, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people were right after South by Southwest canceled, even when Facebook and Twitter said that they had pulled out of it. At this point, now that South by Southwest has been canceled, you have artists, you have filmmakers, you have a lot of people saying, I kind of count on this. This was my big break, or this is the thing I've been working on. Now what? You know, the film Parasite that we just saw, like, mm-hmm. sweep up all these awards, that premiered at South by Southwest. So if you think about how that film would have been drastically different and its trajectory would have been so different had it not gotten that boost from South by Southwest, I think a lot of artists are very concerned, but a lot of other sectors of employment too, of like, hey, I go there to make deals for the year. That's kind of why I go to this, not to just sell my product, but to make those big wholesale deals and things like that. So when we take the numbers for the Housewares Association, Oracle, and Ace Hardware, those three events alone had a combined expected attendance of more than 75,000 people and just as many hotel rooms.
It's incredible.
So there's another really big number.
Yeah, you mentioned those artists too at South by Southwest. Addison Wright is an up-and-coming filmmaker, went to Simeon, played football, then got into music videos and stuff. He just made a documentary short film called Hip Lay about the new trend that, or not trend, but the new dance moves that started with a big group on the South Side. Boy, we just interviewed him. He was looking forward to going. It breaks your heart.
It is. I know. It's drastically going to change a lot of plans and a lot of, you know, big career dreams. I really, you know, worry about that. But it's the right thing to do, right?
I mean, yep, it is.
That's what prevention and mitigation looks like.
Right.
When you don't wait till everyone's very, very sick.
Yeah.
You start canceling things so that people do not.
Right. So that you can have a 2021 South by Southwest and ones beyond that, too.
Yeah, that's right. So on that note, Instacart and Postmates have rolled out no contact delivery options. This is kind of interesting. Both companies were testing something like this, mostly for people who are not home very often and didn't want to wait around for their delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately these things started to spike with coronavirus concerns. And so these companies went ahead and rolled them out to everybody.
Yeah.
Essentially how it works is your delivery would be left at your door or with your doorman in your lobby, whatever, and the delivery person would simply send a picture through the app that will land at your phone to let you know, here's where it is, it's at your door. It's not
I
on me.
I delivered it,
right,
yes.
I delivered it. It's not on me. Mm-hmm. And then you can pop out and grab that. You know, we saw a lot of videos in China of people like handing food, like throwing it over a fence or like handing it with a fishing pole, things like that. So there is need for this, of something like a no contact delivery. And this is the solution they've come out with. ABC7 Chicago reached out to Grubhub to find out if they were going to do something similar. No word yet, but mm-hmm. I'm sure they will.
Right.
On demand.
Yeah, not to put a silver lining on it, but there is a little positive spin that these unusual circumstances sometimes breed that innovation that might be the next thing, that might be something we're used to in the future now that we had to deal with this. It's interesting. It's cool.
That's right. Anytime you see major disruption in the status quo, you see a lot of people scramble to really creatively solve in that space, sometimes just to protect their own bottom line. But nonetheless, we've seen a lot of businesses going, okay, how can we all work from home? Let's experiment with Zoom meetings and with FaceTime, and how can we do this? And just to make those plans so it's not scrambling gamble if, you know, if it is something that's necessary down the line.
We'll bounce off Corona for just a second. Got about 2 minutes to talk about a cool report by the Washington Post, right?
Yeah, this is really interesting. And for those of you who follow me on Twitter, I'm going to tweet this out a little later this mm-hmm. afternoon because I think it's worth sitting down to read for yourself. It's a great long read. So New York University's Tandon School of Engineering performed a security audit of Facebook's online ad archive. They did this. It was specifically around May 2018 through June 2019. So about a year of data there. And they shared their conclusions with the Washington Post about disclosure around political ads. So mm-hmm. essentially, tens of thousands of political ads on Facebook lacked key details about who paid for them. And many of them that they found were very misleading. A lot of them, it seemed like it was saying one thing, like you would guess it would be, say, a right or left-leaning group would have definitely paid for that based on the content in it. But it's really, sometimes it had completely not political persuasion at all attached to it. And it's really just kind of about, hey, Facebook, you've got to, you know, you need to make some decisions here about how you're reporting, who's paying for this and what your guidelines are, especially in a presidential election year.
How do they not know? Or are we talking about maybe people setting up dummy names that pay for these things, or some foreign bodies setting up companies that you wouldn't be able to track?
Well, sometimes it was a term that they came up with was roughly 20,000 ads had also been purchased by, I'm going to do radio air quotes yep. here, likely inauthentic communities. So that's like creating a Facebook group around a cause that's not really a thing.
Huh.
And so it looks like it's maybe legitimate in one way, but it's actually about something completely different. It's just to kind of run cover for the ad you're really buying. It's a really in-depth piece, and I think it's really worth sitting down to read, but it's really fascinating. But when you start looking at these numbers, you're like, more than 86,000 Facebook pages ran at least one political ad that was not properly disclosed, according to the report. 86,000, that's a really big number, and that's very concerning when we have, you know, so many people on the planet using Facebook and using that as a news source to gather information on a daily basis.
Oh, I feel a little sick to my stomach, although I shouldn't say that too loudly around here. Amy, what's...
Right. Joke about feeling sick.
Exactly. We'll find out what you've got coming up in just a second, but the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.